Hey, this is Matt Blake from the SoCal Sound production team. We thank you for listening to the SoCal Sound and appreciate you checking out this interview. These interviews are listener supported, so please consider becoming a subscribing member. Your contribution helps keep us filming live sessions and recording interviews like the one you're about to hear. Just click subscribe now on the SoCalSound.org homepage and make sure to credit live sessions in the drop-down menu. Thanks again, and enjoy another SoCal Sound interview.
Hi, this is Hillary with the SoCal Sound. So excited to be talking to Amy Ray today. Thanks for joining us, Amy.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, so Amy, you're famously known as one half of the Indigo Girls, Amy and Emily, but you also have a pretty thriving solo career. You have a lot of solo albums, and you're going to be hitting the road promoting your latest album, If It All Goes South.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm finally getting out to California, to the West Coast and Oregon. This band has played the Northwest a little bit, but we haven't been able to venture to California in a long time. So super excited about that.
And is that COVID reasons or why haven't you been able to?
It was COVID, but it was also like we just didn't have an audience in California for the country stuff, you know. My punk rock band did okay down there, but I couldn't make it work. And so I just was waiting to the thing that would help it. And Dar offered some dates to us and I was like, oh, that'll work.
And Dar is who you're touring with.
Yeah, touring with Dar Williams. And it's my band, which is like, there's seven of us. It's like
a giant
band. It's just basically everybody that records the records, my solo records, which is like Jeff Fielder on guitar, and he plays mandolin and banjo and dobro and electric and acoustic, pedal steel player that also plays banjo and dobro, a fiddle player that also plays guitar, a drummer, a bass player, and a keyboard player.
That's a big band.
It's a big band, and we sort of never really tour we've tried touring with less people or doing some gigs as just a trio or whatever. It just never is fun.
So yeah.
We always go around all together.
How is it different touring with this like big band versus touring with Emily as the Indigo Girls? I know sometimes you guys have a band, sometimes it's just the two of you.
Yeah.
How are these different from each other?
Well, I always tour with the same band and we drive around in a van with a trailer. And with Indigos, you know, we tour with our violin player a lot of the time. And then every now and then, like this summer, we're going out on the road and doing shows with a full band. We'll be with Amos Lee for some shows. And actually Melissa Etheridge is gonna do some shows. We're gonna do some shows together. But Indigo's travel on a tour bus, you know, and we have a full crew, but the Amy Ray band is just us. And
yeah,
driving ourselves. And we're gonna have a sound person with us who is our friend who produces all of our records. So he is coming on this tour to do sound.
It sounds like a big deal, like a big tour.
We're playing all these places that we don't normally get to play. And because Dar is taking us on board, which is very nice of her since we're such a big band.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, it's a big deal. I take my bass player and we drive the van out to California.
Do you actually do the driving?
I actually do.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
that's
great. I could probably pay someone to drive the van out, but like, it doesn't really make sense. And so yeah, I drive the van out and then the rest of the band flies in and it's a big deal. We all get in and we go do the tour and then I drive it home.
That sounds like so much fun. So even though you said you know, this band has not played much in California or the West Coast, but you personally are out here quite a bit because I just saw you with the Indigo Girls a couple months ago. Like you said, you have these dates coming up. You have some in Santa Barbara and one at the Troubadour. Is there anything you like to do when you're here in LA or Southern California?
I usually like to get tacos, but I also like to hike. You know, I mean, when I'm on a solo tour, I can't do anything except drive the van and pack and play music and unload and all that stuff. But I mean, typically, you know, in LA, I really enjoy hiking. So I go up to the different parks and
Runyon Canyon.
Oh yeah, running in
Yeah,
Canada.
yeah.
You got
That
it.
one kicks my butt. I can't do it.
I love it. I generally, that's kind of the thing I do when I'm on the road with Indigo Girls, is on a day off, I go hiking
Nice.
or I go to record stores and thrift stores. Those are my two choices.
It would be
Yeah.
really fun to run into you at a record store. That would be exciting.
It's fun to be in a record store.
It is. I agree. You're still living in Georgia, right?
Yep. I'm
Okay.
living in North Georgia. I live up in the woods. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I have never been. I would love to go. You're really known for your activism. I think both you and Emily both are really known for that. So what is that like, being like an LGBTQ plus person, being an activist, and living in the South?
Well, I mean, the thing about the South is I think people, it's we kind of I think, like, unless you come here, it's hard to understand, like, I mean, to some of my friends, it's actually hard to understand, like, why you would love living here so much. But it's actually pretty rich in activism here, because this is kind of where everything's happening. So we need to be here, we need to be present, we need to be visible, we need to be working our butts off. I think it's, there are some safety issues, I think, for some people here. And so you just have to kind of, I mean, to me, I'll just say the biggest problem I think in the South is still racism. I just think it is. I think, homophobia is big, and banned books are big, are a big problem, and all that stuff. But, like, racism is sort of at the root of so many things. And misogyny. And so I think for me as a Southerner, that's the task, is work on that, be here and work on it. And I think, like, white people have a lot of privilege and entitlement, even, at middle class white people, I should say. And so we, you got to work. I mean, I just believe you need to do the work.
Yeah, right.
So this is where I am, and I'm going to just try to not be, pushed out.
Yeah, one of the places where the work
Here.
needs to be done, so that makes so much sense.
But there's also a lot of really, like, Jimmy Carter's from Atlanta, and Rosalind and John Lewis and Stacey Abrams, and, like, our leadership
Yeah,
here is
right.
just phenomenal. And the groups, the activist groups, like, a lot of the younger groups, Project South and Southerners on New Ground, and there's just so many good groups that cross, that have learned about, just how to cross-pollinate, basically, with issues of migrant farm workers, cross with, like, queer issues, cross with racism, cross with immigration issues or death penalty or, criminal justice system. They're all intertwined. It's intersectionality. It's always been that way. And I think in the South, they kind of got that earlier. And so for me, a lot of my mentors have been out of this, out of the movements here, because they saw that, like, you're working on native issues as a queer person, you're also working on queer issues, at the same time.
All plays into each
And
other.
yeah. So
It's all
for
connected.
me, it's, and I love the South. I mean, I just love it. I'm from five or six generations of people that are from here, and I love the land. I love my neighbors, even when they disagree with me
Yeah.
and, don't at all feel the same way about most things.
Right.
There's just, it's my comfort zone,
Yeah.
Everybody's got one, and this is mine.
Well, it's super honorable that both of you have used your platform for good. And I feel like you can feel that when I go see you guys play. It's always an emotional experience. I've seen the Indigo Girls over 30 times.
Oh,
Big
wow,
fan.
cool.
Yeah. Any chance I get, and you guys are on tour, and I've seen Amy, I've seen you solo a couple of times as well. And every time I go, I'm just like, think that I'm like used to seeing you guys, and I'm not going to be moved emotionally, but I am for like a lot of different reasons. Like, I'm moved because I love your lyrics, and I moved at like what strong activists you guys are. And something that's like interesting to me is, every time I see you guys play Galileo and you play Closer to Fine. Does that ever get boring for you? Are you ever like, ugh, Closer to Fine again? It doesn't for me. I love it because the audience is singing and everything, but I wonder how that translates to you guys.
I mean, it would be boring if we weren't doing it with everybody else singing. And, like, Emily and I are, like, we don't want to practice Closer to Fine,
Yeah.
but it's a great song. I mean, Emily
It's a
wrote,
great song.
he wrote a great song, and it's given us a lot of, I don't know, just it's like a really great way of bringing people together.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's crazy because you can just, the sing-alongs happen, the guests can sing a verse. There's just so many things about it that bring people together. So no, I don't get tired of it because it's different. It's going to be different every night.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever's happening in the audience is different every night.
Is there songs that you prefer playing live that you enjoy more than others maybe?
You know, it changes all the time. I mean, there's not like one song that we always, it's not like, oh, I always want to play this live. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, we do Share the Moon a lot these days.
Yeah.
And I really like playing that song. But
that's a great one.
But we tend to rotate, go through phases where we have like, 20 songs that we're kind of focusing on. And then like five of them might change the next week or the daily, we might add things in and out. So it's every audience is different too. It's like some audiences respond to things differently. So we also change things while we're playing. Like we'll say, okay, this set list is not going to work. So
for this crew, for this
craft. So we just like switch things out or do requests or whatever.
I've never heard you guys play Prince of Darkness, and I want to someday. That is on my list.
We have played that a lot, actually.
I told you, I've seen you guys over 30 times, and I'm always it never happens.
It's not a every night thing, but it has come back into our playlist quite a bit in the last, I'd say, like right before the pandemic and then post pandemic, we tended to play it more than we used to. And it was just the result of requests for it.
Really?
Yes.
So I'm not honestly the only one.
No, it's like, and plus it's like what I always say to Emily is if certain people keep asking over and over, it means that there's other people also that probably want to hear it. So like certain songs we should just learn if we feel like it. I mean, we don't want to play something we don't like, but we like that song. So
I was going to say, are there songs you don't like that you guys have made in the past?
No, I don't. Yes, there's plenty.
Okay.
It's not that we don't like them. It's just that they don't feel as good as some of the other songs.
Right.
So, we don't want to play them. Like, but there's, like Blood and Fire. It's sentimental. It's old. It's not a great song, but people want to hear it, but it's for sentimental reasons.
Yeah.
I don't really want to
play it. I mean, I love the song. I would love to hear it live, but I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very young song in my songwriting.
Right.
And so for me as a songwriter, I'm like, it's kind of a oops sort of moment.
I think of that often with people who are tour a lot. If they have to sing songs that they wrote when they were like 18 and now they're 55, it's like, it can't resonate the same way, right? It has to just have a different feeling now.
I mean, there are some songs that you write when you're young that for some reason, like Kid Fears. Kid Fears is a very young song as well, but it still resonates because there's some things about it that reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
Can
you tell me what that line Kid Fears means?
It's kind of a weird double entendre in some ways, because it's like, I wrote it for some friends of mine that had been through abusive situations, and I was kind of saying, what would you give like for the normal, like just to have the Kid Fears that like people that don't go through that have, and I also was saying what would you trade that for? Like what would make you feel better? So it was like two things. And it's really meant to be for kids even now and, people that are just suffering.
Yeah.
Because we don't all get to have great childhoods.
Absolutely. And that song,
and it's on a spectrum too, because like I may have had things in my childhood that felt really rough to me, but then when I was in my 20s and I met people that had been through other stuff, I was like, it's relative,
absolutely.
And it doesn't mean your pain is any less. It just means open up to the world's suffering and see what other people are going through.
Absolutely. And Michael Stipe is on that song. Do you guys still keep in touch?
I wish.
Oh.
I mean, I love him so much. We saw each other recently at we did an REM tribute show for the 30th anniversary of Chronic Town in Athens. It was so fun.
That sounds amazing.
Freaking kid in a candy store. All, you know, all these great Athens bands were there. And Michael came. He didn't sing. He didn't want to sing with anybody. Because he's not, it's not a aloofness or anything. He just sincerely is just like, I want to listen. He's like, yeah. I'm here to listen.
Aww.
I love his honesty. So we did talk. We talked and it was great to see him. I love him.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, talk about Atlanta royalty or Georgia royalty. That's the first person that comes to mind.
They gave us our whole career, really.
I love that. I love it. So I interviewed Emily about 10 years ago and I asked her this. So I'm going to ask you now. So there's definitely, when it comes to the Indigo Girls, there's Amy songs and there's Emily songs, right? And so a lot of times my friends and I will just be like, if you had to choose to only listen to an Amy song or an Emily song the rest of your life, like who would you choose? And every time we're like, we could never choose. It's Sophie's choice. We couldn't choose. Has it ever happened where you brought a song to the table or Emily brought a song to the table and one of you were just like, no, I don't like it. This is not happening.
Yeah.
Really?
It's rare. It's super rare. Okay. It's usually more like, I like the song, but it needs to, that should be like, if I think Emily should do it on her own as a solo song, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like it should be, you know, informed by our duo-ness. So it becomes like it's not because I don't like the song ever. But there was a song of mine on a punk record on Stag that was called Lucy Stoners that Emily was just like, I don't want to do that.
That's so funny because when I asked Emily, she was like, no, that's never happened.
That's not true. She didn't. Maybe she thought you meant Indigo songs. No, she said to me, she didn't want to do it. So I made it. I was so excited about it, you know, and brought it to the table. And she's like, I can't sing that song. And I was like, okay.
How do you decide? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it was a subject matter for her, you know. Because it was really, you know, of course now it's fine. It was like very despondent of Jan Winter from Rolling Stone and it was sort of taking the piss out of him.
Okay.
And it was a feminist song about Lucy Stoners, that movement. And it was against people, you know, it was a challenging homophobia and misogyny.
Yeah.
It was calling him out. And she's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but you can. Like, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, okay. I put it on Stag and it was fine. But now it's like, you know, now we see what's going to be on Winter.
Right.
But, you know, that's our deal though with each other is if you can't, I don't take it personally. You know, it's we got to like believe if you're going to deliver it and you're going to be digging into the arrangement, you got to hear yourself in it.
Yeah. Right. And you guys have been doing this.
There's songs she writes that I think we should do that she doesn't want to do.
Really?
Like there was a great song on her solo record called Match that she wrote with Kristen Hall. Mm. I love that song so much. I always wanted to do it as Indigo Girls. She never wanted to do it as Indigo.
Oh, how funny. And how is that for you? Like, how do you choose between an Amy Ray, you know, song versus an Indigo Girls song? Because like the song More Pills, for example, I love that song. I can't get through it. I love it so much. But it feels a little Indigo Girls-y to me. So how did you choose to make that? And I think the first time I heard it was at an Indigo Girls show. You came on and did it solo. So how do you choose that that's going to be an Amy song versus an Indigo song?
For me, it's just like I can hear like the collaborators in my head, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I can hear, you know, when I wrote that song, it just felt like a country tune and mm-hmm. I was putting together a country band and I had a guitar player that I loved and we were just, you know, collaborating so much and I just loved him and I wanted to do it with him.
Yeah.
Because I could just feel how he would approach it.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt, and also there's a singularity, I mean, to like, the topics or something in the solo songs that don't feel like they're meant to be shared as a duo. Cause Emily and I just really color each other's songs, you know, like when she sings with me, she's part of the song and part of her song. And so, I can just hear it. I can hear Emily in my head. She doesn't mm-hmm. feel the same way, but when she's writing, she doesn't hear me necessarily.
Yeah.
But I just do, or I'll hear, sometimes I hear a punk band.
Yeah. Right. You know, sometimes, you know, Amy Ray single without Emily, I would say, like, yeah, some of your albums lean more punk, some lean more country. How has, like, punk and country been influential in your life? Because you think of the Indigo Girls, right? You don't necessarily think of, like, punk rock or even country, like, more Americana, I guess. But, like, I feel like you guys are your own thing, so.
When we came up, you know, in Atlanta, a lot of the earliest places we were playing were bands that had been clubs that had been punk bars.
Yeah.
And a lot of the bands that gave us, like, the break to open for them were, like, bands that were considered, like, all indie punk bands.
Love it.
We weren't really, like, on the folk scene, because the folk scene was they weren't that gay friendly in the folks in the South.
Interesting.
Scene. But the punk scene was, you know, because it was very queer. And
yeah.
I mean, in Atlanta, you know.
Yeah.
So unless you wanted to be part of the women's music scene, which we were sort of, you know, naively and ignorantly rejecting in a way, you know, and wanted to just be in our own scene, like the college scene or whatever.
Yeah.
I think we were just afraid of being gay probably when we were really young. So we really learned a lot from the do-it-yourself, the DIY punk movement. And so for me, and when I discovered, you know, Patti Smith and the Replacements and Husker Du and the Pretenders and, you know, just all these bands that really informed me, like, energetically.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of music I like, you know?
I love it, yeah.
And I see punk and country as being very similar, you know, in some ways. Like, traditional country, like Hank Williams.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, and Loretta Lynn. I mean, very, like, you know, usually like very renegade, very, like, the chord structures are simple, but the Clash has, like, simple chord structures, but super interesting lyrics.
Full of feeling, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and songs of the people.
Right, and exactly, yeah.
So, and I think, you know, that's just always been my side of things, and Emily's informed, you know, she likes country a lot, but she tends to like pop country more. And she likes
hip-hop. Interesting, I wouldn't expect that.
She loves pop country.
Oh, how funny.
The good stuff, not like, you know, not misogynistic, stupid. Right.
Not the bro country, like, yeah.
I mean, some of the bro, I have to say, like, some of the bro country, much to my chagrin, I'm like, that's a good song.
You hate that? You're like, I should not like this.
I do hate it, because I, it's like, kind of like Emily with hip hop, because she likes a lot of hip hop that can be super misogynist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a struggle for her.
Right.
I'm the same way with some bro country, where I'm like, really, I hate what this artist stands for, but that's a good song.
I know. And you have to, like, it's just the way it is sometimes, I guess. Yeah, that's so funny. So you and Emily, I've always told my dad this, I feel like, and it's probably, this is my, like, love for you guys. I feel like you guys are like Paul McCartney and John Lennon fighting each other. I cannot believe you guys, like, come from the same town and you met so young. So is it true you guys have known each other since elementary school?
Yeah.
That is wild.
I was 10 and she was 11.
Oh my God.
I know.
And how did you guys, like, realize you're both into music and you both have these, like, complimentary voices?
Well, when we were in elementary school, you know, she would sit in the lunchroom and play guitar, and I would see her, you know, I was a year apart behind her. That's in elementary school. That's like a vast.
Oh, it's a big deal. Yeah.
And then when we got into high school, I started to sing in the chorus, and we started to have some similar friends, and we had an English teacher that had all her siblings and my siblings, and he taught advanced placement English, and we all kind of, even when before I was in his class, Emily had his class, and I would go hang out in his classroom after school with Emily and play songs that we had learned, like cover songs. So he really nurtured our career, and being in the chorus, you know, we started to have similar friends and hang out together and play. And yeah, it just really, chorus is what kind of brought us together, like high school chorus, you know,
which makes sense, because your guys' harmonies are one thing you're really known for.
Well, yeah, but she was the magic of that. Like, when we started, I didn't even know how to sing harmony. I was like,
really?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I would fake my way through an alto part in church choir, but never really, I was really a tenor even then, and I really couldn't, like, grasp it. So then we started singing together, and she would always do the harmony, or I would learn a harmony as if it was a melody, kind of like a Simon and Garfunkel thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started learning how to write harmony from her, really. So she kind of, you know, she was, like, sort of musically way more advanced than me earlier on, And I was kind of more business advanced, you know, like more like strategizing about gigs and, you know, what we should do and kind of pushing a lot. And she was kind of like, I don't know, you know, I might be a teacher or I might do this. I might go to grad school. And I was like, well, we can do that and this.
There you go.
That was my opinion.
So, I'm so glad it turned out the way it did.
Yeah, we're just lucky. I mean, honestly.
No, it's not luck. It's
some of it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Some
it's
of it
a
is.
Portal. It's a window that opens at a certain time.
Yeah, and if you, yeah.
It's like Malcolm Gladwell or something. If you have the nurturing and you have the support system, when that window opens.
Yeah. Yeah, it does all come great. Together, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what happened for us.
I mean, that's amazing.
We just had the timing was right. And
yeah.
And Tracy Chapman was out and, you know,
yeah,
all the things started happening. And then REM took us under their wing and it was just like.
That's huge. Yeah. You know, and here we are.
Yeah.
All these years later. That's so exciting. So you have a show coming up at the Troubadour here in LA on January 16th. We're excited about that. Anything you want to tell us about the tour? I mean, you've already told us a lot, but anything about the show? You're looking forward to?
You know, so the Troubadour is one of my favorite places.
Iconic.
Of all time. Yeah. To play. And I, you know, when I play there with Emily, it's just the best in the world. And so I wouldn't have gotten a chance to play there really with my band unless Dar said so. So I'm really excited. I look at it as a gift, honestly, as a gift to be able to play at the Troubadour. Yeah. So super excited. We're actually recording a lot of these shows on the West Coast too. So that's going to be, we're bringing a recording rig with us. As long as we're there.
Yeah. Is it going to be released as anything, do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to put a live record out with this band.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's our goal. That's our goal.
That's amazing. My dad and I will be at the Santa Barbara show and the LA show. So
awesome.
We'll be in the audience singing along. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, I have one more little story to tell you. I was just telling my coworkers, like you have to tell Amy when you talk to her.
Okay.
I had a boat a couple of years ago, this like old, like 1950s little boat, and it was blue. And we named it the Indigo Girl.
Oh, that's flattering. I love old boats.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, it's a beauty. Cool. It's a really beautiful old boat, but she's called the Indigo Girl. So you got a boat out there.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
I can't thank you enough for taking time
thank
to talk.
You.
It's really been very special to me. And yeah, and we're really looking forward to your show and have been listening to your album. And we're just so excited for the Indigo Girl show and excited for the Amy Ray solo show.
You.
So thank you so much. It was really wonderful.
Awesome.